Tommy Bowden joins us on Sports Byline USA. You certainly know the Bowden name, and of course, Bobby Bowden's son. One of them is Tommy Bowden, a successful coach in his own right, had great success at Clemson, and also took a downtrodden Tulane team and turned them around. They went 12-0 one year. Well, he has written a book called Winning Character. And you know, Tommy, I know a lot of coaches write these type of books. What is the correlation between what you do in sports and maybe the success or failure you have in sports and how you can apply it to everyday life?
Well, you know, the book kind of opens up. There's such a fine line between winning and losing. And 3 years in a row, I lost winning my division by 1 point. And trying to make good decisions, which can help you, you know, make up the difference in that 1 point. And just take a look at some of the decisions that have been made recently in college football, you know, some poor decisions at Ohio State, some poor decisions at Arkansas, some by administrators, some by coaches, some by players, and try to find some ways to some resources to make good decisions, and broke it down to five basic foundations of character: commitment, accountability, responsibility, discipline, and sacrifice, and how those apply to your, you know, in the coaching profession, as a father, as a husband. It's a faith-based, a Christian-based book, but how that kind of helps you based on those five foundations. They spell CARDS, C-A-R-D-S, commitment, accountability, responsibility, discipline, sacrifice.
One of the things that I've always said, Tommy, is the fact that sports is a lot like life, or life is a lot like sports. Every day we're competing in some way. Is that a fair statement on my part to make?
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, that's like as a head coach, you know, I used to go in there and get my thoughts together in the morning, because I knew in about 5:45 or 6, when I opened up that door with 85 sons, there's a good chance one of them was going to have family problems, one of them got in trouble last night, one was having academic problems, one was having girl problems. There was going to be an issue with that or staff. So life's the same way, regardless of what you're coaching. But you're going to lose a job, something's going to happen with your children, something's going to happen with your parents or yourself, you're going to make a bad decision. So there is a lot of carryover, and of course, obviously, the important thing is how you respond.
Do you know the time or the reason why we kind of crossed over the line where coaches were strictly and primarily coaching kids when it came to football, basketball, baseball, whatever it might be, and where nowadays they have to be all the things that you just talked about?
Well, it's amazing, because when you look at just say coordinator salaries right now, where I came from, Clemson. Two highest-paid combination coordinators in the country. One's making $1.3 million, one's making $800,000. And what they have become is they've become the head coach of the offense, the head coach of the defense. And the head coach is getting paid so much, but when he gets paid a lot, the administration wants a piece of him, the boosters want a piece of him. He has to solve any kind of academic issue. So he's attending so many other factors in the support system of the program. You're pretty much, now you are truly a CEO. You're managing the head coach of the offense, the head coach of defense, maybe your academic advisor and your strength guy and your nutrition guy and your trainer. And you don't do any X and O's anymore, and that's the way it's gotten probably more so the last 8 to 10 years than as far as a long time ago when head coach actually coached.
And you know, there's another aspect to this as well. It used to be that when you evaluated high school talent, you'd look at their times. You'd also look at their, you know, the film of how they played. Now you have to get into the character area, and that's not one that coaches have been particularly versed in over the years. How much has that changed the role of the head coach?
Well, it's changed a lot, because right now with social media and, the tweeting and the camera phones and so many things now where a player can get in trouble you didn't have a years ago, and the coaches is held accountable, and character has become such a big issue. It's kind of been that way in the NFL the last 8 to 10 years, and it has now filtered down into college. But it's the hardest thing to evaluate, because the NCAA has restricted the amount of time that you can spend with them. The most important thing, character, where you need some time to evaluate, it's made it more difficult, but you're held accountable for them 24/7 as a head coach.
All the Bowden boys went into being a coach after your dad, of course, and could you guys have gone and done anything else that you wanted to do, or was that a natural gravitation?
You know, Terry, of course, got a law degree, and my brother Jeff got a criminology degree. I got a PE degree. I was kind of, you know, geared toward coaching. That's kind of something I always wanted to do. since about seventh or eighth grade. And of course, you know, Terry, a little bit different path with a law degree and going to law school. Even Jeff didn't know till late with a criminology degree that he wanted to go into coaching. We could have. You know, my father was, you know, he did not discourage us or encourage us as far as getting into coaching, but he just kind of let us make a decision once we did it, you know, fully supported us.
Usually the measuring stick is the W's and the L's, but I suppose for people that are in the coaching profession, there has got to be more than just the W and the L's that make the profession satisfying. What was it for you and your brothers?
Yeah, I think it, a lot of it was seeing players have success, not only on the field but off the field. You know, seeing them become contributing, you know, men in society and getting married and having children, coming back and calling you and saying, hey, appreciate that advice you gave me, the extra patience you had with me when I was going through some hard times. I think it's seeing these guys, you know, after a four-year or five-year stint, whether they got registered or not, you're making some growth and maturity academically and then physically and then spiritually, especially with my family, a lot of faith-based, you know, emphasis, and to see them grow in those areas of their life. You got a lot of success out of that. But if you don't win, you're not going to have a chance to get that very often.
I mentioned about you turning around the Tulane program and going 12-0, and you achieved a top 10 final ranking in both polls that particular season. When you take a look at programs that have struggled, what is the commonality? What is it that they're not doing that doesn't allow them to compete or win?
Well, you know, of course, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I was thinking back on my first team meeting and my first kind of spring at taking a Tulane team coming off a three-win season and a Clemson team coming off a three-win season and taking both the bowl games in that first year, or bowl eligible with Tulane with seven wins. But, you know, I think that discipline, when you go in there and you set the tempo, they learn your responsibility, and you're kind of setting the barometer and the gauge for the remaining time that you're there. And sometimes, it, you know, in both my situations, I had to discipline a really, really good player. Some of them kick them off. Some of them suspend them. And I think a lot of times, you know, nowadays a coach will go in there and try to be their friend and best buddy and be a player's coach. And I probably was never a player's coach. I think I was a little more of a disciplinarian where they thought that of me. I didn't get a bunch of water jugs dumped on me when I was coaching. You know, I think they were afraid of me. But I think the discipline factor, when you first take the job, you better set the standard, you better set it high. If anybody deviates, you better call someone, and you better be prepared to get a good guy.
You know what, Tommy, one of the things that bothers me about coaching is that you take over a program that has maybe three wins, one win, you turn it around like you did at Clemson and like you did at Tulane, and then all of a sudden, that first year, everybody around the program, meaning the administration and the alums, they're just tickled to have won more than three games. But after that, if you win seven, eight, nine games, that becomes then the measuring stick, and a coach is not allowed really to have anything less than that after that. That, to me, is not fair. How do coaches look upon that expectation?
Well, you know, some places where there's more expected than, you know, nine-win seasons, which – you know, in the 11 and a half years I was a head coach, never had a losing season, and was always bowled out. Went to a bowl game every year. One year we got a fight when we played South Carolina. They wouldn't let us go to a bowl game. But other than that, but that's not the standard. Some places that you coach, just winning nine games or 10 games, it's not the standard. You've got to either win the division, win the conference championship, or get the BCS bowl game. And you usually know that going in. I was familiar with that type of environment at Clemson and came close. And just didn't get to the 10-win season, which would have gotten me the win that would have kept me a few more years. My last year, I was 9-3 the regular season, and I think lost the bowl game to Auburn in overtime. And 6 months later, was, you know, unemployed.
What was the best piece of advice your dad ever gave you about coaching?
Yeah, I think one of the things he emphasized was patience and perseverance, and then a third would be recruiting. A couple of times when I first went to Clemson, he beat the fire out of me. He'd come up past the game, shake hands, and said, you better go recruit. And the team with the best players usually win. So he put a heavy emphasis on recruiting. And when he was making that great run, he had a lot of really, really good players. So I think patience and perseverance and then recruiting, be done with it.
In about 30 seconds, what do you want people to take away from this book, Winning Character?
Well, like I said, it is faith-based, but the biggest thing is making good decisions. If you can make more good decisions than bad decisions, you'll be successful. Therefore, get involved with as many resources as you can to make good decisions. Your staff, and that's what I try to do with my team, give as many resources, have motivational speakers come in, try to get involved with the local church. We had, spiritual mentoring meetings and things like that. The Bible's a book about making good decisions. Church is a place where you go to learn how to make good decisions. Coaching, they're not with the coaches and staff all the time. So my advice would be, hey, go find resources that help you make good decisions, and then I think you'll have success.
Tommy, thank you very much. Congratulations on the book. Come back anytime and join us.
I appreciate it. Have a good week.
Tommy Bowden with us again. Check out the book. It's called Winning Character. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.